I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to our little corner of hell.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, boy.
James is having a lot of fun this week.
Yeah.
If this is your first week with us, please welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Thank you for joining us again.
Yes.
I hope you enjoyed the room.
Yeah, the room. Yeah, boy. So sorry that
I did.
Yeah,
I had fun.
I did not.
I could watch that again and again. And this week, we're going to do The Room again. No, I wish. That'd
no,
be great.
No, I would cry.
We're going to go more in depth.
Thank you guys so much for being patient and flexible. We had a high school graduate last week, so it was kind of last minute, all the festivities.
Yeah, we had to do things
so
and stuff.
We appreciate
you. So thank you for hanging
in there. We appreciate you. We missed you, too. But most of all, thank you for being here with us and reliving these tales. In painful and excruciating detail.
Or like me, living it for the first time this week. I never saw this movie before.
Oh, so, good. So you've never seen this movie.
No.
Thank you for all of your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for all of your Patreon donations, messages, tweets, all of that. And thank you just for being you.
Yes, you guys are awesome. Thank you for hanging with us. And I'm excited this week, by the way.
Yeah, last week, if you didn't know, we watched The Room. And this week, we watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
We did.
Opa!
Which I have avoided for 20 years for a reason,
and
if I figured out this week.
No, it's not for a reason. You realize that you had never known happiness. You haven't known happiness.
I'm even more excited about the bonus, though. That's what, like, I'm jacked about
that. Yeah, we are going to be.
This is crazy.
We're going to be doing a bonus episode with our new favorite reality television show on TLC, Secret Princess.
Yeah, it aired for 2 years, like
upsetting
8 years ago or something, and it's well worth talking about.
It's well worth talking about, but we'll go into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, there's a part where I laughed so hard I had a headache for 2 days.
Sarah threw up. Yeah, I threw up.
It was really, that's how funny it is.
I don't think I've laughed that hard since I was 15. Oh, so that is something that we can all
Patreon
look forward
this
to.
Week.
That's going to be Patreon this week.
It
so
is.
The movie this week is My Big Fat Greek Wedding from 2002. 1 hour, 35 minutes, just 1 minute shy of what we find...
The danger zone.
The danger zone. So well done, filmmakers.
Thank you for that. Although they actually could have used a little extra time on this one.
We could have used an extra minute, but it's okay. It's okay.
Just to have a plot at some point.
Starring Nia Vardalos, Jorn. What is wrong with me
Jorn.
Today? Jorn.
Hello, Jorn.
Jorn Corbett.
Nice to have you back on set today.
Yeah,
old Jesus. Jorn, the did, television did, veteran did you, Jorn Corbett, as we all know.
Did you send Jorn his sides?
Has Jorn been sent all of his sides? Jorn, there he is. Good God. Jorn, craft services is right over here. If you need anything before
Something's
we get started,
wrong
let's
with
get
me.
Jorn in makeup, everybody. Hair and makeup for Jorn. This is Northern Exposure guy, right?
Yeah,
okay,
Jorn.
That's what
okay.
I thought. Jorn from Alaska.
Okay, shut up. Starring Nia Vardalos, John Corbett, and Michael Constantine. Jorn.
What's up, Jorn?
Buongiorno.
The
IMDb description. At least I got that right.
Yeah, that's good. It's better than Jorn.
A young Greek woman falls in love with a non-Greek and struggles to get her family to accept him while she comes to terms with her heritage and cultural identity.
Okay. That's still not a movie plot. I have a bad... This is the whole movie, okay? We can save ourselves a little bit of time. Two people meet. Their families are kind of lukewarm. They plod through and ignore it at the end. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
truly.
The movie. There's no fucking plot to this movie.
Yeah.
There isn't. I've never seen a movie before. And I'm talking
James has never seen a movie before.
I've never seen any. Even The Room has more of a plot.
Yeah.
The Room is better written than this movie. Yeah. Even though this movie is like funnier and has things like that are entertaining in it. And The Room obviously doesn't do anything on purpose that's good.
Yeah.
It at least has a plot. There's like a guy fucking this dude's girlfriend, which, that he's technically the bad guy and a bad whatever person.
I'm sorry,
and
James. He betrays him.
And so does she.
She tears him apart.
She tears him apart. He's betrayed. It's a mess. But I
get
mean,
your
there's
facts
a,
straight.
There's a, there's a protagonist. There's antagonists. There's things like that. In this movie, there's a lady and a guy and a bunch of people who, that's it.
It's a commercial for marriage.
Sort of.
This is a commercial for marriage because you have to,
for Greek Orthodox Church.
You have to blend your families. You have to blend your cultures. And that's, you have to figure out the politics of everybody's family. This person's crazy. You gotta navigate the waters. A big deal.
We'll bring it up as it comes along, but just overall, the lack of plot here is stunning.
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 The tagline, "Love is here to stay, and so is her family."
Oh boy.
Oh. Da 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 da. Bing.
Yeah, that's very it makes sense though. That time though, that's when like The Sopranos was getting popular.
Yeah.
And people wanted to see. People were like, "Ooh, look at the ethnics." They started to see
Ooh, here's the fun fact this week. This is the highest grossing romantic comedy of all time.
Mm.
I knew James would love to know.
I remember it being excessively popular. It has a sequel, it had a TV show.
And then she also got another movie called My Life in Ruins.
Oh, that's right. That's like the same cover.
Ruins.
It looks like the same.
Yeah.
Part three of this.
It seems like My Life in Ruins is basically like she got divorced from Jorn Corbett.
Oh, poor Jorn. Jorn's eating ramen noodles sitting in his one bedroom apartment. Putting peanut butter on Ritz crackers at night.
Jorn is on his own journey of single life, so it's fine. Okay.
Poor Jorn.
The other fun fact, Rita Wilson apparently saw the play version of this.
It is a play. Okay.
Told Tom Hanks to produce a movie version. So he called and Nia Vardalos hung up because she didn't believe it was really Tom Hanks.
Okay, that's pretty funny. I can see that. That's funny. It makes sense that it's a play. Because a play doesn't have to have a plot.
Yeah.
A play can just be a piece that you look at. And that's what this movie is. It's a weird piece that you look at.
By the way, you could absolutely prank call me and say that you were Tom Hanks. I don't even care. I would love the fantasy that I was speaking with Tom Hanks. I'd be like, "What's up, dude?"
I wouldn't even have hung up if I didn't think it was Tom Hanks. I would have been like, "Oh, yeah? That's great. Loved you in Splash, asshole. Anyway, fucking, I would have been a total dick.
You would think he was wonderful.
And then I'd hang up on him. That's what would have happened.
Yeah. Get me Jorn.
I would have said, do the laugh.
Do the laugh.
Do the laugh, Tom
Let's
Hanks.
Go, Woody.
Do the comedy fucking laugh. I want to hear it from you, goddammit.
Yeah.
No, not the Philadelphia fucking AIDS laugh. I want the comedy laugh. God damn it. There's no laughs in Philadelphia at
all.
None, I don't think.
But there's no laughs in this movie. I'm just kidding. There's no shortage of laughs in this movie. Okay, so I will tell you that My Big Fat Greek Wedding doesn't try to be anything more than what it is. Okay, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful movie.
I'll say it's that.
It's whatever. But we begin with, it's a rainy night in Chicago, okay? Rainy night in Chicago, folks. It looks like it's cold. It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we meet our characters, okay? So you see Nia in the passenger. Her name is Tula in this movie.
Tula.
So she's in the passenger seat and then her dad's
Tula-ian.
Driving. Okay.
God, I'm stupid.
Okay. We were halfway through the movie and the whole family calls Jorn Corbett Ian.
No, they call Northern Exposure Ian.
And James looks at me and he goes, "Is this the first time that we're learning his name?" And
I went, "His name's Ian?"
No.
I had no idea.
And I told him, like, you know, in the travel agency, they, you know, he says, "So Tula." And she says, "Ian." And I'm like, "So she said his name." And he's like, "Oh, I thought her name was Tula Ian. I thought she was like finishing it. Like, hey, it's Tula Ian, asshole."
If I'm giving you facts, I know Tula, but Tula Ian, and then gives her last name. I was like, "Oh, okay." Because he didn't give his last name. So I thought it was all her name.
No.
He didn't say Miller at the time, so
he said it's like Porkypocalypse or whatever.
Oh, her name is Tule
Ian. So you're Ian Miller.
Oh.
And he's like, yeah.
Tule Ian Miller, I choose her name. Okay.
No.
Tule Ian Miller Papadopoulos. Perfect. Perfect.
No.
Right away. One thing.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I went into this movie with a negative attitude
right away.
Yeah. Because I'm full cards on the table here. I'm Italian, and the Italians and the Greeks, I don't know, they have kind of a thing. I think it's like the Irish and the Scottish.
Are you guys exclusive or what?
No, we don't like each other in a weird way.
Okay, so you don't have like a thing like that.
Too much alike. Too much alike. So they talk shit about each other. Oh, what are you, like feta cheese, you fucking weirdo? Meanwhile, you know, they're both hairy and horny and it's all the same. You know what I'm saying? And loud, and it's all very similar, and so we can't possibly like each other.
James was, he was recognizing a few moments of his own life.
Well, that's one of the things in this movie is, if you're, because as they talk about it, she has like all these moments of like, oh my God, I don't want to be.
So embarrassed,
My parents are immigrants and this whole thing. If you grow up, like my grandmother was an immigrant and we grew up pretty much in her fucking house all the time. If you grow up in that environment, you do feel weird.
Yeah.
You feel different. You feel like other people, like my cousin, and when my grandmother would make like a weird food, she made this polenta where they just pour it on the table for some fucking reason. I don't know what barbaric ritual that is, but she'd pour it on the table and it looked gross and had lumps and shit in it. And me and my cousin would give each other just an unspoken glance of, don't tell anyone at school about this ever, because it's fucking weird. Let's just pretend that we're normal people.
Yeah.
So you get like this thing of like, oh, everybody else, my grandmother packed my lunch, it would be, you know, fucking leftover dinner, basically. That's what it would be.
Great.
Whereas I appreciate that now, but at the time, all the other kids were like, what the fuck are you eating? Just like she had. So it was interesting.
Oh, whatever. What was ours? Lunchables? Who cares?
I wanted Lunchables. At least it was normal, because no one stared at the kid who had Lunchables. Everyone didn't turn and go, oh, Jesus. That's what everyone stared at me when I broke out my fucking literally full size. But I'd have a full size, like, grocery paper.
I had Lunchable pizza that was cold.
I wanted that.
No,
I had a full grocery bag.
The cheese was not melted.
And they'd
it
look
was
at me.
Gross.
She'd give me like 40 grapes in a Ziploc bag. How am I going to eat that for lunch? I was seven.
You open the bag and you use your hands.
But there'd be stuff in there and leftover macaroni, which the kids are like, what are you eating? What are you, leftover macaroni? It was
it's
just
not like
weird.
You were eating like fucking pig's feet. You were like at school and that's not weird. You're eating pizza.
If she did, I would have thrown that out. I wouldn't have whipped it out at the lunch table. But I get a few of the things where she's coming from is what I'm getting at here.
So it's a rainy night in Chicago. Well, rainy morning. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since I've lived in a colder climate, but okay. So it's raining, right?
It's, like
it's raining. It's no, it
it's
wasn't
like
slush. It was like hard rain. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a hard rain.
Okay. I thought there was like ice on the ground.
Well, you also thought that her name was Tula Ian.
That's a good point. I could be way off on the ice.
Okay.
The Tula Ian incident.
But it's like raining and she's wearing fluffy earmuffs in the car.
Yeah.
And I was like, do we wear fluffy earmuffs in the car? No, right?
No.
Because not in the car, but I mean like the rain is going to make it wet and make your ears cold.
You wear a hood in the rain.
You wear a hood or like an umbrella.
That's,
Ella.
But I think they wanted her to look like almost childlike, though. They wanted her to be
like
she's
was
immature.
30,
so she
and
she
then
wears.
Like,
it's weird.
Oh, I guess.
That
because
was her, that
I was,
their,
thinking, I'm like, your hair will 1,000% make your ears warm. And like, because it,
she
you
has
know,
a thick kind of hair on her, too.
Us gals have some hair over our heads. So
she's Greek. She has hair on her ears, probably.
She probably has very hairy ears. But
I'm
going
to make a lot of anti-Greek comments over the course
thought,
of this, so I apologize ahead of time.
I thought a hooded jacket or an umbrella would suffice, but I understand.
You're right.
I understand what you mean. Like maybe it was trying to make her look like immature. But
yeah, because she still has the same glasses that she had when she was a kid, and she's got earmuffs. So I feel like they were trying to make her look like she's never grown up. She's 30, but she's still 12.
Yeah, in that case, get it together.
Get it together, lady. Yeah, Jesus.
Get it together.
Somebody ambush her with a makeover.
The dad says to her, because she's yawning, because, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and the dad says, you better get married soon because you're starting to look old. Now, we have a voiceover, which James and I have said that if you have a voiceover in a movie, it probably means that your movie is not good enough to be a movie. Because you have to like do a lot of
explaining. There's some good voiceover.
Yeah, there's good voiceover, I mean, but for the most part, for these rom-coms, I don't know.
The rom-coms, it's always a damn a weird little feature. It's always a little trick that they're trying to pull to give you some extra plot or something. This, they use it to like kind of trigger a flashback, which I guess.
Well, she did like a flashback type thing. And she even did you notice the little homage, the little naughty poo to, Goodfellas?
I did notice that.
Where she was like, ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, man, did she even say she wants to be a gangster?
There was a couple Goodfellas things in here, which I know. And a few other movie tropes and things from specific movies, too, that I noticed where I was like, that seems a lot. Like, the writing, anyway, was ripped off.
So,
I feel like, I don't know.
So she's saying that her dad's been saying that she looks old and tired, you know, since she was 15 years old, because the whole point of what the, everybody thinks that, you know, their daughters should grow up and just get married and be baby breeding machines. And you
that's
know,
the,
so you should
that's
get married
the old
young
Greek.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what the old, just any immigrants kind of their thing
yep.
is that you should do that. Have a family.
Yeah. Have
I
a
want
family.
Grandkids.
Yeah. I want grandkids. Give me babies that I can sing songs at. So Nia, oh, sorry. Tula Ian and her dad.
Tula Miller.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, what are you talking about?
I was dead serious, too. Yeah. That's the sad part.
Tula Ian Miller and her dad walk into their restaurant called Dancing Zorba's. No umbrella for either of them.
Nah.
They're just walking. They're getting those fluffy earmuffs. Just soaked, girl. Soak them. Dad just ditches his jacket with reckless abandon. And so she just takes it and like hangs it up. No, thank you.
Yeah,
nothing.
No. That's just
like,
that's
you know,
the routine.
Whatever.
They take her for granted.
So then we go to a flashback when she's growing up, and I will give her this. It is hard out here for us yellow haired gals. Okay, it just is.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter. You know, it's just I don't know what's wrong. Like everybody always thinks that a little blonde girl is cuter and prettier than. And I was like,
I don't
excuse
know.
Me,
yeah, it's one of those.
I'm a pageant winner.
She did win a pageant.
I won one beauty pageant when I was one.
Yeah,
and it's because I made fart noises.
So she's on a winning streak, everybody.
No, I peaked at one.
She's on a winning streak. Don't
no,
get in her
I
way.
No, I was at a one. I'm a one win wonder.
She is a pageant. She's still the reigning champion. No one's defeated her. That's the thing.
Well,
she's undefeated in beauty.
I'm only
pageants.
Undefeated because
undefeated.
I haven't like seen if anybody else has won it, but I'm just going to assume that they haven't.
I would just say I'm undefeated if I'm you. I'm just like, I'm undefeated.
Yeah, that's what
matter.
I mean.
I've never been beaten.
I'm not going to dull my sparkle.
That's what I'm saying.
They canceled it afterwards.
You've
They're like, who's going to beat the girl who made fart noises?
That's
Nobody.
Right.
That's right.
I'll tell everybody from now on. My wife's never been beaten in a pageant.
Boom.
Ever.
She's only participated in one.
They don't
and
have
that was
that.
Not on her own idea. Okay. So, Tula Ian Miller is lamenting that why she has to go to Greek school. She asks her mom how come she needs to go to Greek school. Mom says that, you know, when you get married and you want to be able to write your mother-in-law, don't you?
Yeah, you want, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, eat. Apparently,
that's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah.
To
when you go
our
over to James's grandma's house, like she's like. Might like she's ready to
there's
she's ready
out.
To feed you.
There's definitely going to be some food flying your way, and if there's nothing out, she's going to panic and start making something immediately,
or yell at somebody to bring.
Yeah, if she's not feeling good,
get the cookies.
Get
out.
This. Guess you're going to yell at my mother to start preparing something for everybody. What are you doing with this? Get that. Heat this up. What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Then she'll be angry. You'll go sit next to her. She'll be like, I tell her she'll put the stuff out. She doesn't put it out. And she'll complain about it for 10 minutes.
You're
like, it's fine. It's happening now.
Yeah. You're like, who cares? We're just happy to be hanging out. It's
I
good.
Didn't need to eat before my jacket was off.
Yeah, I'm good.
I could take it off
here.
And sit down and say hello,
everybody.
And then I'll eat. It's fine. They expect it's like I'm ravenous. We come in like, I haven't eaten in 3 months.
The food?
Where is it? So shoveling it into my face.
I mean, admittedly, I do think that, but I have.
I want to, but I'm an adult.
I'm an adult. And
some
I
reservation.
I've gotta wait.
Can walk in and.
That's why you show up right before eating.
That's the point.
Yeah,
it's good. It's a good.
So
way to do it.
The family's house is modeled after the Parthenon. There's columns, statues, a Greek flag on the garage door. So not only does she have to eat moussaka at school and like everybody, you know, she's got to go to Greek school.
And what does
and
the little
about,
girl call it?
Yes, moussaka, of course.
They all laugh at it.
Well, because it's hilarious. But then she also has to like go home and then she's got like this big Greek flag and she's like, oh, God, you know, like
it's
I
embarrassing.
Just,
it is embarrassing. If you've been around your friends and had somebody come out and scream at you in a foreign language in front of them, it's fucking embarrassing. They all look at you like, oh, Jesus, what the fuck? It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
No.
But it is.
She
if none
of
the other kids.
Of her heritage.
If all the other kids' parents, you know, will use English to yell at them and yours won't, it's a fucking different story.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So she's kind of educating us, Tula Ian Miller is educating us on how her father is, because obviously her father is clearly a character. Okay. So she's kind of... getting us acquainted with his dad-isms, his Costa-isms, you know, like that type of thing. So,
yeah, his will kind of, you know, reigns over the house.
Yeah, and so she says that her dad believed in two things, that Greeks should educate non-Greeks about being Greek, and any ailment from psoriasis to poison ivy can be cured with Windex, which, if you've seen the commercials for this one psoriasis medication...
Which one? Oh, God.
The one that always gets stuck in your head.
Nothing is oh, my God. They used to play it on Hulu on the commercials all the time and drive me nuts.
We should stop talking about it. Do you know why? Because we did this to ourselves with the other one.
They'd play it.
No, no, but with the other show, other commercial that we hate, we were like, it's been a while since we've heard that.
Oh,
and we started playing again because they're listening to us.
We are just haunted by these fucking things. Yeah.
So we should stop talking about it.
Outlaw commercial jingles, that's what I say.
Or just like a
outlaw.
But anyway, so one of Dad's little quirks is he says, give me a word, any word, and I will show you how the root of that word is Greek. So he gives an example of arachnophobia, and then the girls are like, okay, Mr. Portakopoulos, what about the word kimono?
Yeah.
And they think that they're all funny.
And then Mr. Porkchopopoulos is like, listen, mister. And then gives an explanation on the whole thing.
So yeah, he thinks about it for a second, and he says that it comes from the Greek word of himona, which means winter. And what do you wear in the wintertime? A robe. So like, you see, like, he's able to make everything into whatever. So I thought that was a nice little introduction.
No, Dad's a fun character.
He's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are some funny moments in this movie. There's some undeniably funny moments. Yeah. It's just not a movie.
I think I watched this movie the first time on an airplane on the way to Hawaii.
Okay.
And
when you were a kid?
Yeah. When I was like 13 years old, and my mom and dad made me wear a skirt. And a nice shirt
to the airport.
The plane. Yeah,
you got to go to Hawaii as a kid. That's amazing.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk
about
it. That's
awesome.
No,
that's awesome.
We learned that we brought grandma.
We went to Connecticut once.
Ooh. We learned that we brought grandma over to America from Greece to live, to kind of be taken care of. She is fairly certain that she has been kidnapped by her son. She calls him a bloodthirsty Turk.
A bloodthirsty Turk. Yeah, she's insane and chugging on a beer and yelling at people running away.
Yeah.
She's and out then, of her mind.
One of the cultural things that we learn is that nice Greek girls who don't get married work in the restaurant. So boom, here we are, present day. Sorry that part was so boring. It's just we had to learn everything.
Yeah, you have to get backstory.
And also, I don't have the charm of Gus, of Costa. I don't have the charm of him, so it's just not going to come out as
great.
You're
going to do your fucking Windex demands?
Yeah, I have my own charm, and that's blowing farts and winning trophies.
Well, that's
boom.
True. Good job. But she blew a fart with her mouth, by the way. It was a raspberry.
Yeah.
She didn't actually fart on command at one.
No, I wasn't farting
on...
Well, you know what,
though? If you could do that on command at one...
I would definitely be undefeated.
You would be a future... just a future superstar. And I mean, if I was your parents, I'd take you and
I would be
cultivate that talent.
I would be undefarted.
Undefarted.
Ha ha.
That's right,
okay.
To Lee and Miller.
So we meet the mom. We meet Aunt Vula. We meet Uncle Taki. We meet Nick, her brother. And apparently Dad called Uncle Taki to the restaurant to talk with him about sending Tula Ian Miller to find a husband in Greece, but she won't go.
She doesn't want to go to Greece.
She doesn't want to go. So they think that she doesn't want to get married. They're all doing the sign of the cross. Just like, oh, heaven pray
for
that
child. It's a whole ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they introduce like 45 family members, including a new kid on the block or Backstreet Boy or some shit.
First of all, he was Joey Fatone from NSYNC.
There you go.
But we meet Tula's older sister, Athena. She's got 3 kids. She sounds so Midwest. Western. I gotta drop the boys off at Hockey, and then I gotta go to the Jewel. I missed that. I gotta go to the Jewel.
Yeah, I like the.
The Jewel used to have.
What's that?
It's a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
So the Jewel used to have these. When I grew up in Wooddale, they had these cookies with sprinkles on them. Mm. They were so good.
I'm up for cookies,
and I always think about those cookies.
Damn.
Yeah, right, I still think about those cookies.
Thanks for fucking bringing them up now.
Well,
you don't have them.
Imagine being tormented for many years.
Get online, find them. There's got to be cookies somewhere.
No, they're not there anymore.
Wow.
Also, did you see that Nick, their brother Tio Nico?
Yeah.
He put raw bacon on his face.
I was horrified by that.
I was
as
like,
a person who doesn't like grease on their skin at all in her
I
hands.
I hope we are not serving this.
Oh, I'm
and he
sure
put it
that's
in his hat too. Because remember, it was like dangling.
It was dangling. Ugh. He's gonna throw it on the right on the griddle. It'll be fine.
Yuck!
And cook it at 500 degrees, no problem.
The NSYNC member Joey Fatone, who actually is pretty funny, and cousin Nikki. It's the girl who plays Robin Swallows in Austin Powers. They're fighting. So their brother and sister, they're fighting about Joey Fatone's big ass girlfriend.
Yeah,
you and your big ass girlfriend.
They're having an unnecessary fight because they're side characters that don't really do anything.
You're really learning about, like, they're only there to show that all of these people have stores. So like restaurants,
no, I get it.
There's a laundromat, there's a travel agency.
Terrific.
Remember when that was a job? There's a travel agency.
That used
there's
to be a
you
job.
Know what I mean? Like there was.
The only thing is, if only they would have taken the time they dedicated to things like that and had, what's the word, a plot.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
And I understand.
That would have been terrific.
I understand your frustration.
I'm very angry.
And I hear you. I hear you. And I understand that you are upset. But this movie's wonderful.
The whole, there's no second act and really no beginning or middle of the third act. It's just a first act and then it ends. It's
it's a commercial. It's an hour 35
so
commercial for
weird.
Marriage. Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing because it would be like the father. Well, I'm sorry. I don't want to ruin the whole plot because it's really thin. So I'll let you get to it.
Please don't ruin it.
I won't. I'll wait till you get there.
We get the impression that the boys are favored in this family and then in this culture. You know, like they're like, oh, she doesn't want to get married. Athena's already been married, and then you know Nick comes up and sits by, and he's like, hey, Dad, I'm gonna get married, and they're like, oh, you have plenty of time.
Yeah, you're
fine.
Plenty of time.
Like,
gives him a kiss on
the
head.
Like boys can do no wrong in this family or culture, and
you'll spread your seed eventually.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You'll drop one past the belly eventually.
Some menus drop like on the ground, and the sister Athena picks them up, and she sees this brochure for like, you know, computer classes or college classes. And I was just like, oh man, remember? Like you had to go pick up a brochure. Or something. So Tula Ian Miller has to pretend that like she doesn't know what that is, and like, no, I don't want to go to college, because she's like, what is this? And it's almost like it was like a bag of heroin. Like, what is this? Is this yours?
Yeah, I couldn't see the flyer at first. I thought it was a flyer for like a matchmaker.
No.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was like she was going to look for a boyfriend that way, because that's what I thought. Because this was after she met Northern Exposure right?
No, it was before.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Northern Exposure.
Okay. Poor Jorn. Oh, man.
Okay.
My mouth does not like me today.
That makes more sense, because I was confused, because once he came in and we figured out he was a teacher, I thought later on, I'm like, was she going to go to college to try to see him again?
No.
Or did she just want to go to college? I couldn't.
No, she just wanted to further her education.
Yeah. Because
she just wanted to take some computer classes.
Okay, yeah. And then it's a coincidence.
Make something of herself. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
It's just her betterment.
The family, Tula Ian Miller kind of hears the family talking about that Tula will never leave you, and that, you know, she'll always be here to run the restaurant. So they're kind of just like, wow, she's 30. She's never getting married. Like,
old maid,
you know,
wrote her off.
Old maid. Oh, my God.
And
this
getting her four cats for Christmas. Period.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a voiceover kind of saying like, nothing ever changes. Life is the worst. And she's just kind of, you know, upset that her family, you know, thinks so little of her because she's not married. And I understand, like, you know, you get that feeling where you're like, yeah, well, you know, you're more than just someone to, you know, whatever. You can have value. You can have worth and still have your family appreciate you.
And those families do put pressure on you too. The ethnic families really do want, they have a certain idea of, you know, okay, if you're supposed to be, they have a time schedule for you. You're supposed to be married by now. I'd like grandkids very soon.
Yeah, exactly. The other ones got, like, we have one that already did this. What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
you know,
what's
like
wrong
that
with
kind
you?
Of thing.
What are your insides rotten? And they ask you that right at the dinner table in front of everybody too.
But life is the worst until the big hunk of mullet comes up, Mr. Jorn Corbett himself.
It's not even a mullet. It's just this weird, scraggly.
Just, but like, so he goes to meet up with his bald friend. Okay, who's just looking at Polaroids at the table. I'm like, maybe if you got your pictures developed from your disposable camera, but not Polaroids.
Pre-fucking looking through his phone, though.
Well, no,
he's
like looking
Polaroids.
At these Polaroids,
it's very
and he's like,
school.
You really missed a party. And I'm like, okay, but why did you bring Polaroids to your lunch break?
Brings a stack of Polaroids out to lunch with the friends.
Yeah, he was on a lunch break.
Yeah, and it wasn't
and
like he was
like,
showing him an orgy. It was like, we had some drinks, check
this
out.
It wasn't like, check it out, I went to Greece last year, so I wanted to eat some Greek food. Like, it's like,
it's weird.
Look, you know, me being a perv. Anyway.
I wanted that character to be Hornberger. I wanted him to be
Pete Hornberger,
really
a
bad
lot.
From 30 Rock. He's just a better actor.
Yeah.
That guy was fine, but I just like Hornberger.
But I felt really bad because this guy is super like George Costanza bald, right?
And smooth on top.
Yes, very smooth on top. And how much hair does Jorn have?
He's
got a luscious head of, you know,
it's
hair.
It's long, but it's pretty far back. This is the thing about Jorn.
Was
Jorn's hairline's not wonderful. And if you look at it, it's Jorn's holding on. Jorn seemed to have a couple more years of good times, and then it was going to be like a weird bald long thing that was happening. So
so that's why their marriage, because he's like, listen, your family thinks you're desperate, and check out this hairline.
Yeah, I feel like Jorn was looking for somebody, because he every day, you know, he'd look down in the drain and be like, I got to find somebody. This is gonna this isn't gonna go well, because a guy will think like
that. The lines of your palm, he's like, oh no, see all the
I see. Oh
tree.
Man, look at that! It's clogged quickly today. Oh no,
looking good.
It's looking bad for me. I better get out there. I feel like that's the Jorn system. So he was looking for someone. That's why he was kind of creeping around a fucking travel agency like a weirdo later on.
No, he was getting a hot dog. Okay,
he was getting a hot dog, and he was kind of I don't know. He was
Tia Ian Mil Tia. Tula Ian Miller. Something's, you know what? I need to go to bed. I don't even know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, no shit.
Tula Ian Miller is just kind of standing there, like, you know, with her coffee pot, and she's just going around and refilling everybody coffee. She does have a pretty solid line that gets a laugh. She gets a crush. She, you know, she crushed it there. She says, here I am standing here, your own private Greek statue, because she, like, was just staring at him.
Yeah, she stood there like a,
like a weirdo.
Like fucking Forrest Gump stares at Jenny. He was just like,
But I was proud of her. Way to go. Demonstrate your skills and your value.
Yeah. She didn't demonstrate much. She just demonstrated that she could stand upright. That was good.
Well, no, but she, you know, said she was being herself. She landed a pretty funny joke.
That one. Yeah, the Greek statue line. That was pretty good.
So Nick, her brother, draws a new menu cover for the restaurant, and I thought it looked really good. And the dad just kind of, like, what's weird is that the dad wasn't interested in it at all.
No, because that's not something that he cares about.
Okay, yeah, because it was weird because like,
cook
you
and
see
get married. Shut up.
You see that they're happy with how Athena has... You know, whatever. But like Nick and Tula Ian Miller, they're having a lot of problems.
They live at home.
They're living at home, and like their parents like aren't, you know, letting them like whatever. Like Athena's the only one in that family that wants to like get married, have, you know, 800 babies, and take them to hockey,
move out.
And go to the zoo. And,
Jesus,
not to the zoo, the duel.
Going to the zoo right after hockey.
We're going to the zoo.
The thing to remember in this movie that I had to keep reminding myself is that this fucking character is supposed to be 30 years old.
Yeah.
30.
Well, I understand that, you know.
But she's very like Adrian in Rocky.
Yeah.
She's very much like that.
Yeah,
like,
she is.
That's the same thing where I feel like her, you know, everyone in her family is like, yeah, that's just Tula Ian Miller. She's just she's a little slow. Whatever. You don't want to go out with her. Like, yeah, she's a mutt. Yeah. Nobody wants to go out with her. She's ugly and slow. Yeah. And her brothers are mean to her. Like, that's what it feels like.
I wish Jorn was more like Sylvester Stallone.
That would have been amazing if Jorn was like a brain damaged, fucking stroked out, you know. Club
another
boxer.
Time.
That would have been
another
great.
They can make another movie.
Ham and Egger.
They can make another movie. Great.
They did. They made like five of them, I think. Right?
It's just like Rocky movies. Yeah. Okay, so he gets waved off about his new art. Tula goes down, and it's almost like because the dad's working on paperwork and everything like that, and then Nick goes in to talk to the dad. He leaves, and while he's like leaving, Tula's out there with her little brochure for college classes, and she like pats him on the like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to go talk to dad, and you have to go ask if you can do these things.
That's what I thought was weird. She was like going nervously.
She was like waiting in line. Yeah.
Yeah. Nervously talking to her dad. Can I take a college course? I was like, you're 30.
Yeah, but
you're fucking
You saw
30.
How he reacted, and that's why she
Why would she tell
so
him?
Nervous. Yeah,
you're
30. I
would just go do what you want, being that you're an adult person. It's so strange.
Yeah.
Is she a virgin too? That's the other thing I get out of this movie. Like, I feel like, no, she's a 30-year-old woman. Obviously, she's had relationships.
I have no idea,
But then I can't think of a time when she would have had sex because she's so weird with Jorn, so I don't understand.
But, she never talks about that she had any boyfriends in the past.
Never.
So
it never comes
up.
So,
whatever. But anyway, so she goes and she recommends that she's like, hey, you know, I've always been really good at computer class and I got good grades in computer class. So I'd like to go to college and learn more and get kind of updated. Because she said that the ordering system was outdated. She was like,
they could have used a POS. They could have.
Like,
they needed
it. We're doing some unnecessary ordering. We're doing
handwritten dupes.
So,
the whole thing's
so
inefficient.
So she's like, I just want to kind of modernize the thing. And he gets upset and he asks, why do you want to leave me? because, you know, obviously if you want to go to college, then you're
going to better yourself and go somewhere.
Yeah. So she says, I'm not leaving you. Don't you want me to do something with my life? Valid question. I was very proud of her for bringing that up. And he says, yes, I want you to get married and make babies.
Which was also, from his point of view, exactly what his character stands for in a weird...
The mom is...
so sad.
The mom is very supportive, I will say. I liked...
Yeah, she reminds me of So I Married an Axe Murderer Mom.
Yeah,
that's
she
who
does.
She reminds me of, the Greek version of her.
Yeah. So she's very supportive, and she kind of, you know, like, cries to her mom a little bit, like, how come I can't, you know, do this, and, like, why is dad so stubborn? And
yeah, mom's a little cooler than dad.
Yeah, but I was really proud of Tula for, you know, speaking up for herself and saying that she wants to further her education.
Yeah.
And I thought it was nice that she was, like, she could have been an asshole and been, like, I'm taking classes,
I mean,
dad.
She is 30.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, anything she did would have been justified being that she's an adult.
So
that's what was weird.
The mom
so strange.
The mom and dad argue about why Tula can't go to college. He says that there's drugs at college, and she's like, yeah, but nobody's, like, Tula's not going to do drugs.
Look at her. And she's a virgin, for God's sake.
I love that he says, they might say, take this bag to the bus depot, and she'll do it. Like, he's like, you know, she's just like, she'll just do what anybody says.
She's going to turn into a drug mule if she goes and takes a computer class down at the community college. Immediate drug mule.
He's not worried about that she's going to do drugs. That she's going to just, okay, I'll do that.
It's going to be Midnight Express before we know it. She's going to be in a fucking Turkish prison. This is terrible.
Not good.
Jesus Christ.
But it was so funny because she says, no, she wouldn't do that because she's smart. And he says, so what does she need to go to more school for? She's smart enough for a girl. So I'm like, okay, you understand why it was hard for her to bring that up with her dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's kind of, you know, like, whatever. The mom... reads in the Riot Act. She says that she cooks for him, cleans, raises all, you know, three kids, that she, you know, teaches Sunday school and blah, blah, blah. And like, it's, you know, hey, thanks. You
she
tell
lays
me to
down
tie
her
my
resume.
Shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so now we know that Tula gets to go to school.
Yeah. She comes
Tula
out.
Tula gets to go to school.
And Tula and Miller seems like shocked at her mom. She's like, damn. She looks at her mom like, holy shit.
Wow, James.
You just slayed the dragon.
Nothing for Tula goes to school. Jeez.
Tula is going to school. That's excellent.
But she's really proud of herself because she gets to go to school.
She is. And this is the beginning of the first part that makes that they just kind of plowed through and don't have any.
There was a lot of montages because
where there's no. Normally, when a character transforms in any way, shape, or form, there's trial and error.
Yeah.
They try this, it doesn't work. They try this, it doesn't work. They try this. There you go. That's how, you know, movies are.
She's trying this, and she's getting confidence. She's starting to put blush on. She's wearing contacts. She's curling her hair. So she's becoming the best version of herself.
I know. There needs to be a speed bump in there somewhere to where it's
a
challenge. There's no challenge. She puts some makeup on. People like her. It's all fine.
She saw a table full of yellow-haired gals, and then she's
like,
fuck this. I'm going to sit there. And I was like, yeah, eat your Wonder Bread sandwich.
In the montage.
But she should have eaten some Greek food when she was sitting at the table.
Well, she was smiling like, I'm finally doing it. But in the montage, there should have been one or two instances where she saw those girls at the table and didn't sit with them and sat down because she doesn't have the confidence yet because she's still that kid in school. But then on the third time, she just was this seat taken open and sits down confidently because then she's overcome it.
Yeah.
She didn't overcome anything. She just went, I'm going to be better. And then the next scene, I'm better now. There's like everything else in this movie. There's no conflict.
I'd never sit at that
zero.
Do
no,
you know
I wouldn't
why?
Either. It looks awful.
I think you have to talk to people. Yuck.
They look chatty too, those gals.
I don't care about being chatty. I just don't want to chat while I'm eating my sandwich. Leave me alone.
That's what I'm saying. But like I said, everything, there's no conflict.
Yeah,
it just
no
happens
conflict.
And it works and it's fine and everybody goes on to the next scene.
But anyway, what we learned from this montage is as long as you are the best version of yourself, the right man will come.
As long as you, this is what you learn, ladies. As long as you make yourself pretty and learn how to put fucking shit on with brushes and makeup.
She looked fine before.
She did.
Yeah.
But in this movie, they were trying to make it like, look, she put some makeup on, so now she can meet a guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, before this,
except
she was
except for she, yeah, she
you know,
did not.
Looked like she was wrapped in a fig leaf. Nobody wanted her. That's what the movie put on. That's not what I'm saying. That's what they put out there.
No, so she, like, I'm just happy that she didn't dye her hair blonde.
That's good.
She
yeah.
kept her
She would
hair.
Have looked ridiculous with blonde hair. Let's be realistic.
Well, no, she probably would have looked fine. We're just not able to picture it because we have a certain blonde in our head.
The only advice I will give women fashion-wise, I know nothing of women's fashion.
Oh,
I don't know
boy.
What you should do.
I'm ready for this.
This is the one thing where a man, a woman, a child, a dog, a cat, an alien could go, yeah, this looks bad. Your hair color, and this only goes for white girls, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Black girls can pull off cool shit, and like ethnic girls and like, you know, Latina girls can pull off cool shit.
Yeah.
White girls,
okay.
Your hair cannot be lighter than your skin.
Yeah.
Do you understand that shit?
Yeah.
You can't.
Washes you out.
You look fucking silly when it's your hair is lighter than your skin tone, white women.
Yeah.
Please don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You think I want this color. It doesn't work for you. I'm sorry.
No.
We all have our things. I can't dye my hair blonde. I'd look ridiculous.
Please
because
do not.
No, it wouldn't work with my skin tone. That's the point. And it doesn't work for you guys either if you're doing it and you're in that category.
Okay.
That's all.
That's good.
Public
advice,
service
James.
Announcement from James on women's fashion. It's the only thing. Anybody from space can go, oh, that looks ridiculous. Unless you're like a surfer at the beach and the sun has completely bleached your hair blonde and you have tan. That's fine. And then at that point.
I think that you should be able to dye your hair whatever color that you want.
You can. And I'll go, look at this one. She looks fucking ridiculous. And then
I
you'll go,
also,
she does. And then
I
you laugh.
I will also tell you that you should do what works with you.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Have realistic of what it is.
If somebody says that's going to be hard to do, don't do it.
That's true. Guys trying to pull off mustaches, so believe me, I'm not fucking sniping from my side over here. I'm just saying that's the one thing that I've noticed that I can say with pure, you know, righteous.
So she finds this flyer for computers and tourism class. She tells her mom and aunt about it, and she wants to work at the family travel agency because she doesn't want to work at the restaurant anymore. But she's like she has this whole pitch. She goes like, I can update all of your stuff. I know how to do this now. And then so she
new wardrobe, new makeup, new hair. Look at me, no glasses.
Yeah,
boom.
Not hostessing at a restaurant anymore.
No.
It's not for me. But anyway, so the mom and aunt, they have to go talk to the dad and make it seem like it's the dad's idea, which is, I mean, you know, it's super annoying, but it's fine.
Again, not a conflict, takes 2 seconds and it's overcame.
Because he comes up with the idea and then it's fine.
Yay, problem solved.
But so now she's at the travel agency, and I wonder if this is a real conversation. So you see Tuli and Miller at the damn travel agency, and she's like, hi. Like, she's got her, like, you know, like...
Her headset, her, like, telemarketer headset
on.
Yeah,
she's got her, like, QVC, like, jewelry sales, like, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
She's a real pitch. She's turned into... That's
hi, you know, blah, blah, blah.
No,
okay, I'll do that for you.
No, like, learning curve there either of her even,
then,
like, oh, where is fucking Pakistan? Like, none of that never... While she's making then, travel things, she's just immediately great at it.
And then she, you know, gets over to a different line on the phone, and she's like, British Airways? Hi.
Yeah.
I've got the confirmation code for you. It's Alpha Foxtrot. You know, I'm like, what are you doing? Are you reporting the weather from the chopper? It's, like, what are we doing?
What are you, a fucking police dispatcher? What's happening right now?
And then
what
she just goes back. But like, when you switch lines on a phone, it takes a second and you go, hi, so-and-so. And okay, great. Like, you know, you want to make sure that you get over to the line.
She's just so like, confident.
British Airways. Hi, here's the confirmation number. Don't want to wait for you to get a pen.
She's like, even confident in her phone line system.
Yeah.
That's how confident she is now.
Yeah. She's like,
from 30 years of living like, oh, I don't know, to just, hey, British Airways, Alpha Foxtrot, fuck your mother. I'm doing this. Hey, look
Alpha
at me.
Alpha Foxtrot,
pretty,
fuck your mother. Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's what it was. I think that's what she said, right? That was the line.
That's almost, yeah, that's
word for word. I believe, I don't know, I'm just paraphrasing, but
no, but like, it's weird because she she didn't like wait, because normally I worked in customer service before. You wait, are you ready to take down the confirmation code?
Nope.
Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's like, okay, British Airways, get ready for it, it's coming at you. Like, don't even fucking, you know, like,
she's
when,
like,
you get a call from Tuli and Miller, you're fucking, you better be ready.
She's like on the floor of the stock exchange.
Yeah.
That's how like quick she's wheeling and dealing. It's travel arrangements.
Hangs up.
Relax.
With the British Airways, and then she gets that lady back on, and she's like, okay, it's under Darlene, blah, 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 and like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then we see Jorn at a hot dog cart right outside the travel agency.
Right outside the window, conveniently.
Right outside, and she sees him, and she's like, you know, hiding from him, and you know, all this, you know, weirdo
silly
stuff.
Silly eye contact
and
bullshit.
Yeah, she's like, uh-oh, I made eye contact. Yeah. But, okay. So now she's at home and she's watching TV with her parents in their jammies, plastic on the back of the sofa.
Which is a real thing.
But like she's sitting.
That's just stereotypical.
She's sitting in between her parents, which I thought was weird. Like, why couldn't she have been in the Lazy Boy?
Yeah, they did. They made it very strange because that's funny in a play. When you open up the curtain to her in the middle of her two parents in a play, you go,
well, I guess it is funny when George Costanza does it.
Exactly, but that's a better reveal.
What if we had George Costanza in a nightgown in between Estelle and Frank?
Yeah, no. George is fine. He's not going to sit with his parents like that.
No, he does. He's gonna. Yeah. He loves them. So apparently, Grandma got out, and he. I just love this line is Mrs. White. You find my mama again. Like he's like so excited. Like good job. Like
apparently so she's wandering out a lot,
and she's like, keep your mother off my lawn. Away
and
from my
roof.
Sprinklers and off of my roof.
Yeah, so mom's been climbing to the roof of the next door neighbor's house.
Yaya is crazy.
She's out there.
But apparently the voiceover lets us know that there are two kinds of people, the Greeks and everyone who else thinks that they're, or wishes that they were Greek.
Yeah, wishes they were Greek.
Yeah, that's what the dad says. Sorry, not the voiceover.
And they all, that's all the old ethnics are like that. My grandfather had a license plate holder that said, happiness is being Italian. It's just all, that's how they all are.
Yeah, pasta,
very confident.
Pasta is, they're part of their ecosystem, so I don't really blame them. I love pasta.
Well, it's wonderful, but he was also an alcoholic, so I don't know. That could have been any ethnicity. Could have really lent itself to happiness for him, I think.
Yeah.
I think he needed
it's
specifically
he
to
just
be Italian.
Scotch.
That's all. Yeah, it's a different thing completely.
Tula Ian Miller gets kind of upset that he says, you know, everybody who wishes that they were Greek, and she's like, oh my God, yes, we know. And they don't ever ask her, like, what's your problem? They just kind of look at her like, you know, but that's the only time that you ever see that she's frustrated with her family and her family's culture. Like, because, like, she's frustrated
with herself,
them.
But never, like, she never argues with her parents.
She's never said, like, yeah, I know, it's great being Greek. Like, she's never, like, mad at them for being proud of being Greek. It's weird.
Yeah, because there's no, a conflict would be an argument with your parents. There's never an argument because there's no fucking conflict. It just happens. The movie just happens.
It does happen
to like
you.
It's like water.
All at once.
If you pour it and there's a hill, it's just going to run down it, whether there's, you know, a reason to or not. It just is. That's this movie. Like, well, we got an hour and a half to kill.
And here
so
we are
the
at the bottom of the hill waiting to receive it.
Rock bottom.
We're at the back. We're back at the travel agency. Our handsome Jorn is here and he's trying to get her attention. But he's doing like the stairs thing that you used to do where like you have like, you know, you go behind the couch and you're like, oh, I'll go get that downstairs. And then he runs into some old lady. This lady kicks the shit out of him, which was pretty hilarious. He goes into the travel agency, and at last we meet.
He just wanders in because they've like made eye contact a couple of times while
he
eats hot dogs.
I want a hot dog. So
I would love a hot dog, but she didn't have hot dogs.
No, but there was hot dogs outside of the travel agency, so it's not like he really went out of his way.
It's odd. When you have a hot dog, you should really focus on the hot dog and really get into it. So I wouldn't notice her.
My dad used to ride his bike home the long way through my mom's neighborhood when he was in high school, just so he could see if maybe she was outside on the porch.
That's what guys will do that. Yeah, we'll do weird shit like that. It's called you know, being in love or stalking, however you want to.
It's fine.
However you want to.
As long as it's well received.
That's the thing. If they find you attractive, it's all fine.
If you're doing it and they've told you, no, I don't like it when you do that, or they don't act interested in it, maybe stop doing it.
Then stop doing it.
If they seem interested, you know.
And if they end up being, no matter what you've done, if they end up being attracted to you, it's fine somehow. Yeah. You could have done anything.
Great.
And they'd be like, you know what, though? He's kind of cute. And then that's the end of it.
Whatever. My dad is kind of cute.
You know what, though? It's worked out, though. They're still together now. Which,
I think Jenny and Kevin.
I think he had some foresight.
He knows what's up. He goes into the travel agency. She falls down while wearing her headset because that makes sense. No, it doesn't. You don't fall. No. You don't fall on your ass when you, like, you know, get
something
caught.
No, the cord pops out.
Yeah, the cord pops out
before,
and then you kind of look like an idiot. But it's fine.
Before it rips a 130-pound woman to the ground, it'll pop out.
This is where James thought that her name was Tula Ian. They're on the floor, and he's like, so, you know, you're Greek and blah, blah, blah. And then
really
he asks her out on a date. He says, you want to have dinner with me tomorrow? They go have dinner, get to know each other. And that was actually kind of Remember when people used to like use dates as like, let's talk about ourselves and like,
yeah,
let's get to know each other.
Yeah,
because
they haven't texted for the last fucking, you know, however long, constantly.
It was just like, it was weird because they like went out to dinner and he's like, yeah, so, you know, I got into teaching because of this. Like, you know,
how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Yeah. Whereas
things of that nature.
It just feels like it's a...
Yeah, now it's like you meet somebody. It's like, yeah, I already know everything about you. We've had 12 fights already. It's like, well, where's the magic?
Facebook stalked you.
Yeah, how do we build this magic?
Who's this bitch?
Yeah, the whole thing.
You dated 12 years ago, and how come you saw
nailed
a picture
it.
Of it? Yeah.
Yeah, why do you still have her on your Facebook?
And also, why do you still have her on that Facebook?
That's the thing. Why? Why is she still on there?
We need answers.
And we don't have them.
Yeah, you have them.
We don't have answers.
Yeah, we don't have them. You have them. But anyway, he talks about how his family is like, you know, my family's all lawyers and they didn't really support me being a teacher, but like that type of thing. So you can tell that the two of them have something kind of in common where like they're different than their family. They don't want to do the things.
Feel like black sheep.
Yeah, they're like black sheep of the family. Yeah. He asks her, since she's Greek, do you want to go get Greek food? And he mentions this cute little restaurant that he went to the other day. And you're like, uh-oh, he's talking about her restaurant.
Here we go.
What's she going to say?
Yeah.
So she says that no, she doesn't want to go there because her family owns that place. And I thought that I was really proud of her because apparently, like, she's so awkward and whatever, but she has no problems being like, want to go to college, want to work at this travel agency. No, I don't. Because I would feel really bad. And then I would be like, yeah, we can go there. And then I would be like, if I come in there with this guy, do not say anything to us.
Well, like, the weird part was that apparently he didn't recognize her as the same woman who was...
It was like undercover boss.
The waitress, which I didn't think for a second that he didn't know it was her.
I thought he would know that it was her.
She doesn't look that... She just doesn't have glasses on.
Yeah.
That's literally the only... Yeah. She doesn't have glasses on.
Oh,
maybe a little more eye makeup.
I remember you.
Oh, yeah.
You're
it's
that
like
waitress.
You taught that happened. What the fuck are you
that
talking about?
That happened seemingly like a week ago.
But
I
guess,
but like
no, because she went through a whole computer class, for Christ's sake.
But
who knows the timeline of this movie? That's the other thing. I have no idea how long it takes.
Yeah, it doesn't tell us. But
no clue.
So when you see that, it's like that undercover boss show where you're like, they put glasses on and you're like, yeah, you're just that guy with glasses.
And a terrible beard where you're like, why does the new guy have a fake beard is the first thing everybody would ask.
I would have 100% asked that. But like,
what's up, bro? You got alopecia or something? What's
like
going on?
When he's talking to her at the travel agency, wouldn't you say you look really familiar? Like, I'd understand that.
You look
so familiar. He's just like, what's up? Do you want to go on a date?
Never saw.
And then the next
new
day.
New person.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, who's that? Is that you? I was just like, sir.
Yeah, you're that waitress.
Yeah, she has the same exact hair color, the same exact face. She just
puts
makeup on.
It's the same person. She looks
like,
the same voice.
She doesn't do like overly done makeup.
Nope.
It's very well done for her face, and she dresses the same.
She literally just doesn't have glasses
on.
That's the only difference. Her hair's even up.
So bad because she was like, I was going through a phase in my life when I met you the other day. Like, she was like embarrassed that she looked like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't remember Frump Girl. I'm like, so if you don't remember Frump Girl, then you would absolutely remember who she is. You'd be like, I met you the other day, didn't I?
Yeah, that's what I mean. If he saw her through the frump to her attractive core, then he would have remembered that shining light coming from inside of her soul a month later.
I think I would have been like, get the fuck out of here. Don't try to fucking do that shit. I looked like a hideous monster, apparently, according to you.
The fuck out of here.
Thanks for the food.
Not to mention, the travel agency and the restaurant are close to each other, right?
Yeah, they're
right
close.
They're right fucking there. So it's not like hard to put A and B together. Yeah. They're like two doors down.
The only thing that I can imagine is it must have been months since they've seen, and he is also a college professor, so he does see a lot of people.
I see a lot of broads, you know what I mean?
I see a lot of broads, so he might not know. Yeah, he might think
take a few
like,
home at the end of the night. Yeah. You know how it goes with these
like,
professors.
Because like when I see people and they tell me that they you look familiar for some reason, the first question that I ask them is, did I teach you how to row? And then they're like, oh yeah. And then like, you know, or if they'll say no, and I'm like, I don't know. Then I have one of those faces because that's the only thing that I know you from.
I say, I don't know. And I walk away.
Well, you're a giant. So everybody knows who you are.
I don't want to talk about
it.
Okay. Because it might be something you're mad at me for.
So he says that, you know, it's cool. Let's not go to your restaurant. Like, he kind of understands, like, you know, you're embarrassed. You don't want to go there.
We'll
it's cool. Yeah, we'll go get Italian food. It's pasta anyway, so it's going to be amazing. And then So she starts lying to her family about taking classes, which was like the only conflict that there was, but then it never turned out to be that bad.
No, they didn't even ask a follow-up question. They were like, how's pottery class? She's like, fine. And they're like, all right. They don't even like...
Did you make anything?
They don't say like, oh, good, I'm going to make some pottery. Will you show me how, since you're good at it now?
Yeah.
That's what I expected.
I think I'd
you
like
know,
something for the table.
Like a
or
fucking movie.
Like yeah.
movies have things that happen that make characters have to do things that are uncomfortable for them. That way there's conflict and there's a reason to film it. That's my point. There's no reason to film this. It's weird.
They're learning more about each other. Jorn says like about his boring family life and he's only got like two cousins and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, are you kidding? I have like 27 first cousins and
they're white bread as fuck.
It's fucking crazy and whatever. And so it was kind of good because she was like frustrated and she's telling him like why it's embarrassing. And
she finally opens up and tells him
like,
about the family.
Just all loud and breeding and eating and all this stuff. So she, you know, and then she says, and then the goal is to marry somebody else who's Greek and then just breed more loud eating Greek people. Yeah. Like, you know, that's crazy.
She described Italians basically in that. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I relate to this.
And she said that she's like, nobody in my family has gone out with a non-Greek, which you're like, okay, here we go. We've got two conflicts now. She's lying about this. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, she tells us about, you know, that I'm not allowed to go out with non-Greek, but like, I don't even know how to explain my frustration with this.
Well, that's the thing. She says she's not allowed to go out with a non-Greek, and he's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
She's like, so this can't work. He's like, what are you talking about? We like each other. She's like, yeah, it's fine. And then that's the end
of the
conflict.
That's the end of the conversation.
That doesn't even
like,
carry to the next day.
Each other. Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, we'll be great. This is cool. I don't know what I was thinking. My bad.
There's a whole date montage where we see a bunch of making out in the front seat of the car when he probably has a whole ass apartment.
They're
parked like two houses down, and then she like walks in and she looks all made out with and stuff. And I'm like,
yeah,
everybody knows.
And on like the fourth date, they're still just like kissing. And like, she's like, oh, hold on, I'm going to go inside. It's like, what are you doing? You should be fucking.
We're 30.
Yeah. What do you, if I'm going to make out in front of your parents' house, you're at least jerking me off out here to something.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been fucking sitting out in the car.
He did not give her a class ring.
That's true. You know what? By Grease standards, if you haven't heard the Grease episode,
he should
at least have given her a class ring and that would have been okay.
That at least gives him boob, according to James.
But they're 30 years old. It's like, this is our fifth date. You like me. We're making out, but like, we're kissing and that's it. Like, what are we doing? Are we adults or are we in the 10th grade?
10th grade.
Are we getting a hotel room? Or what the fuck?
But we as the audience from this montage we're being overwhelmed by the fact that they're very into each other.
Yeah, that's why I thought she was a virgin, because I'm like, if she won't fuck this guy, who has she fucked?
I just didn't worry about that part. I just thought that it was weird that we were doing a makeout montage as opposed
to
like them going to go do things. I would have preferred like makeout and also like, hey, we went to the Shedd Aquarium and then we went here because
eating a slice of pizza laughing.
Then they said that like, because remember when they find out, when the family finds out about it, they're
putting
like, we
straws
saw
in
you
mouth like a walrus.
We saw you sucking face with this guy in the Denny's parking lot. And I'm like, so they're fucking hiding, they're going around like making out with each other, like hiding. But I'm like, he has a whole apartment if you guys want to make out there.
Whole apartment, they're
but
adults,
like,
they have money.
You're
they
not go
to
going
hotel.
Out and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, they live in fucking Chicago. They don't live in a tiny small town where they're, oh, you went to the Denny's and made out. Go a mile away. Go to the next neighborhood and go to the Denny's where all your family doesn't fucking live.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Anyway, we just thought that they should have consulted us on how they behave themselves.
I would,
But she's lying to her parents, and I felt sad that she didn't feel comfortable enough to be like, hey, I'm going out with this guy. But, I mean, you know, whatever. He seems nice enough.
She didn't want to deal with it.
They're making out at the travel agency, and like, but we didn't feel any conflict of like,
no.
I'm one of these days, no. I'm going to have to. Because I understand if you go on a couple of dates with them, you don't know if you're going to see him again.
Why
like
bring
that.
It up if it's going to be
why bring
an
it
issue.
Up if it's not going to be a thing? But like after a couple of dates, you'd be like, I better talk to my family about this. Like you'd think that would be
I'm
like.
Considering jerking this guy off in the front seat of his car. I should probably talk to my mom about it.
Yeah, before somebody sees
Dad.
It. And, yeah, whatever. But anyway, so, and then also she didn't set Jorn up for success because she should have said, okay, if we're going to be together, you need to ask my dad for permission to date me.
There's some things and you like, need to do. Some hoops that you're going to have to jump through. It's silly, but you got to do it.
Which I think that you should absolutely set your partners up for success.
Yeah.
Like with that stuff, I understand that you may think that that's normal, but this person doesn't know that they need to do that.
Yeah.
So it's just really important to be like, hey, when I was first with James, he would say, when we go over to grandma's house, you walk straight over to grandma, give her a kiss. like, and then yeah, you say hi to everybody
else. Out of grandma first.
So that's what you do. Like, that's what everybody does in the family. And so that you have to just follow suit with that.
When we watch 90 Day Fiance, somebody like will go over to visit somebody in, you know, in another country, and the other person has to tell them, hey, these are the traditions. If you don't do this, it'll piss my dad. Sometimes they don't. Yeah. And the people are like, I don't know. I'm fucking,
and I
didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that.
I understand why people forget to say that, because it's so normal for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's normal for them.
It's normal for them. So they might forget to say it.
They might think it's global. You know,
they might think that every family does it. Yeah, yeah. So like, why didn't you know that? So I understand, but it's always good to just, if they say it, and then if the person goes, I know, then you don't have to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
no, that's a good point.
It's not a big deal to bring it up one time. Just don't nag them every time. So anyway, the family meets him. Nikki, the cousin, catches them making out at the travel agency, which I was like, disrespectful. She's at work. She's trying to scan and like print stuff. And
she was into it, though.
You're fondling her while she's trying to do some of her admin tasks.
She was fondling
tasks.
Him, too.
She was going to give him
a lot of
alpha foxtrot fuck your mother.
That's what I mean. There was a lot of grab ass going on there on both sides of that equation.
Everyone knows about them dating now in the family, and they go over to her parents' house.
By the way, I just meant to ask, the makeout scene when they meet the cousin gives him like a long up and down and stops on his dick. Does he have a boner? Is that what they're stopping on for making out with her?
Or maybe her pants were unzipped.
Or is she just a like, ooh, I'm going to look at this.
She was giving him a hand.
She's
sandwich.
Like the family, like, you know, yeah, they all like roll their eyes like, oh, she's the family harlot or whatever, you know, in their eyes.
I never.
She's had two boyfriends. So, you know,
assumed
she
isn't
even married. It's crazy.
I assumed it was either pitching a tent or a zipper down.
Okay, I assume she was.
But then I was like, why would the zipper be down? Because they're not. I don't know. We don't know. Because
later on, when she's rubbing him, she's just the pervert that sort of likes him.
She likes everybody.
Yeah, she likes whoever.
So anyway, the Tula Ian Miller's just kind of sitting there with all the ladies in the kitchen while Costa and Jorn are arguing, and he's like, "You never asked me for permission to date my daughter." So he goes, "Okay, cool. Can I date your daughter?" And then I love this because he goes, "Well, she's 30 years old, sir." Like, if she wants to, you know.
So she's
like,
30 years old. I didn't think I had to ask permission to date her. Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry. Like, I would have asked you. So then
that's the only logical line in the whole movie.
It was smart, and it was nice that he was like, okay, can I date your daughter? And then he's like, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then, of course, I did like that he said, like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Because he knows that she's 30 and that she can decide for herself.
This, by the way, everybody, is the conflict in the movie.
Yep.
This
because
is
she hid it from them, and then it was they just forged out. Forward.
That's the thing. It's not like the father's like going out of his way to stop this wedding. It's not like the father's having some of his friends break fucking Jorn's legs or something like that. That's what he's setting up. The father literally isn't that into it, and they're just like, ignore him. He'll come around.
Yeah.
And then he does.
Yeah.
That's the it would be like a Batman movie if the Joker was blowing shit up and terrorizing the city, and they were like, just ignore him. He'll punch himself out. He did, and that was the end.
You would think that he would be excited that somebody wanted to go out with her finally.
Yeah,
like,
they're
oh,
so
great.
Worried.
So you met somebody. Yeah. And then also, like, with a 90 Day Fiance, when that one in season one, when Kirliam came over from Brazil, and Alan is Mormon. They're like, oh, great. Like, so that's awesome. Like, they're like another member. Like, they're so welcoming of another member of the religion.
Yeah.
And I was like, and even Phil Rosenthal, he's talking about with Monica because his grandma wanted him to marry a nice Jewish girl.
Yeah.
And so the grandma talked Monica into converting because they ended up liking each other and all that stuff. But like, wouldn't you think like, okay, cool. So this guy's not Greek Orthodox. Like but it's okay because he doesn't seem real, you know, married to a religion. We can get him to ours.
That's just the religion, though. That's not.
Yeah,
that's not everything else. That's not the culture. And the Greeks and the Italians are crazy about the culture and all that shit.
True.
It's a fucking crazy, insane thing that they all have.
Yeah. Another crazy, insane thing that dad says is he says, didn't I say it's a mistake to educate women because now we have a boyfriend?
Yeah, look at this one now.
Is he nice Greek boy? No.
Yep.
Like, he was like all mad, and he calls him an Xeno with the big long hairs on top of his head.
Yeah, that's it.
felt so bad, Jorn.
This is the equivalent in Die Hard when his feet are all cut up from glass. He's got no bullets left. Yep. He's smoking his last cigarette. He's about to die. The peak of the that this is where we are.
Yeah.
Not quite the same amount of conflict, I would say. Her dad just being like, I don't know if I like this guy.
Yeah. So the mom is very supportive, but she's also supportive of her husband. So she's like, maybe you're having a little romance, but you're going to break it off. You know, like kind of like, you know, nudge, nudge. You're going to break it off. But, you know, Tula, Ian Miller loves him. So sorry.
And by the way, no, they have zero bumps in their relationship at all either. There isn't even one like side thing where she's like, you know, and you're not even trying. And he's like, I have been trying, but your family's hard to deal with. You called my family hard to deal with. And then she runs away. And the next day they say they're sorry and make up.
Yep.
Not even that.
No.
Not even. They're just fine. His character, by the way, Jorn, is the worst character in the history of the most poorly written character in the history of film. He has no arc. He has no anything. He goes from nice and dull to dull and nice.
Yep.
He has no conflict.
He absolutely
does. He just smiles at everybody. He's never angry at anything. People fuck with him. And he's like, oh, well, like I'm Jorn Jornsen. It's fine.
I'm Jorn.
Here. It's so fucked, man.
The parents start setting Tula up on blind dates. So they bring people over to the house and they have dinner with them. It's kind of like a weird little montage. The first guy is like some old bald man.
He's like 50. And this guy, like, she's 30.
Tula has like she's got like some strong hair. Okay. So we cannot hook up with this bald man.
No, she's out of his league, period.
Yeah. Way out of his league.
It looks and fucking age, everything. Out of his league.
But like, so she's going on these, you know, they're just having people over for dinner. So like these dates. But meanwhile, she's still dating Jorn.
And there isn't even dialogue in these scenes. No. They just pan a camera across the table and there's another guy
there. Yeah, you just see. And then Tula and Nick, her brother, are looking at each other like, oh my God.
And there's never any pressure from the parents. There's never like afterwards, like, you need to go out with that guy. You just never hear about it again.
Because that one guy had a unibrow and then the other guy looked like, well, no, he was doing that weird thing with his tongue.
The other guy was
spoon, and he's like, la, 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 la,
and the other guy was blowing his nose and wiping his head.
That guy looked neurotic, and then that one guy who looked like a mafia guy. Remember, he had like
he looked like a Chechen hitman,
and then he had like the blackest mustache I've ever seen.
Yeah, but they never bring it up again. Like, we were trying to set you up. Why won't you go out with these? None of that. It's fine.
Well, I understand them not bringing that up with the guy who licked the spoon like that.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful and gross.
But they just plow
somebody's
through.
Home. Don't do that.
It's creepy. At the dinner table with grandma. I think grandma was there.
Grandma was there.
You don't have to do that in front of grandma.
We go to Ian's apartment and we bang. We're banging with Jorn.
Finally. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's finally.
It's about time. You're 30.
Like,
get it on.
Yeah, you're 30, but also like, good for you. And I just didn't know, like, there was conflicts that we could have felt pressure from, that she's like, I gotta go out with this guy, and then like whatever. But she just seems to brush that off, and then she's just like
everything else.
I'm gonna go see Jorn, and I'm gonna go, you know.
I mean, the Joker's not going to blow that up. He says he is, but just ignore him. I mean,
if you ignore him,
he'll go away. He'll punch himself out. He'll fall asleep on the carpet, you know, with his toys all around him. Don't worry about it. That's how they treat this whole thing.
Jorn brings Tula Ian Miller to meet his parents, Rodney and Harriet. They are very Midwestern, and she's teaching them about Greek culture. Now, the funny thing is that she's like, Tula, does that mean anything in your language?
And they're trying to figure out.
Super Midwestern. They're trying to figure out if Rodney's secretary was Armenian or Guatemalan or anything like that.
She was Guatemalan. That's what it was.
Is that near Greece?
Yeah, is Armenia near Greece?
This is where we learned that her name is actually Fortula, and it means light of God. And
Fortula Ian Miller, which
Fortula
makes it
Fortula Ian Miller,
longer.
Which is light of God, Ian Miller.
Yeah.
And then she said that her last name means orange, like the food, not like the color. And she's being really awkward about it because she's like my name means like orange, like with the peel, not like the color. And it's like, okay, dude, like just calm down.
She feels uncomfortable in the silence, which I understand.
Yeah.
I've been to like a different kind of family dinner when I was younger, obviously. By the time I was 30, I'd been, you know, an adult for a while, so it would be different. But when I was like 16, if I went to a girl's house and it was calm for dinner, it would be like, oh,
James,
this is weird.
He never went to girls' houses when he was a teenager.
You're right. Sarah's the first woman I've ever met, which is pretty weird.
It's awesome. I was going to say, it's weird that you're criticizing Tula Ian Miller for that, but it's fine.
It was nice to adopt those two kids, I guess, then before that. It's good of me to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
just
very
a nice guy. Yeah.
After they meet the parents, Jorn proposes to Fortula. Ian Miller, dreams are coming true. She said the proposal's
nothing big, too. He's just like,
it's a post-coital bliss, and they're like, will you marry me? And then, you know, it's like, it didn't know that you'd say yeah. But she just tells her parents, and they're just like fine with it.
There's no conflict.
They're like, it's cool, like, it's fine.
Then the movie becomes a wedding film.
But they're not even really like fine with it. They're just accepting it
as
reality.
The mother told the father the one day was sitting out in the hallway all distraught, and the mother goes, it's over already, it's done.
They love each other,
it's done. And he was like, all right. And that should have been the end of the movie. Why have a fucking wedding then? There's no conflict
but,
resolved
again over. Very proud of Tula, because she said, I'm gonna take computer classes, I'm gonna go out with
this
non-Greek boy, and I'm gonna fucking marry him.
Yeah.
And whatever. So she gets frustrated because her family's kind of given her grief, a little bit of grief about it. So she wants to elope, and she goes and visits him at his class to like let him, like, you know, I want to elope, like my family's really
crazy. I
don't
want to deal with them, yeah.
And you know what, though? Eloping is an option.
Yeah,
if your family's
fine.
Kind of driving you crazy, you know, it's your special day, so ruin it in your own special way.
You're right.
If you want to fucking fight with if you're going to fight with your family anyway, you might as well go run off and go get married. You know what I mean?
And I hate to say it again, but you're an adult.
Yeah, you're
do
30.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, it's your day.
You're an adult.
People, as long as you're happy and as long as you're safe and whatever, no one's going to give a shit.
And if they do, you know what you say? Sorry.
Yeah.
Did what I wanted. You know what'll happen? They'll fucking get over it.
Yeah.
You're an adult. Be an adult, everybody.
You're an adult. Don't let other people ruin it when you're fully capable of ruining it for yourself.
And don't dye your hair too light.
These are all great advice.
This is good advice.
Great advice from James.
It is. It's good. I'm hot today. I'm hot with advice.
He's hot.
Coming in hot.
Jorn says that he will convert to the Greek Orthodox religion for her because he's saying,
no problem.
If your family is going to have like such a problem with it, I don't care. I don't really give a shit about religion that much. I'll convert. It's cool. And
not
she's like, really? Wow, that's super nice of you. So he's going to get baptized.
Again, no conflict.
No conflict. I just felt so sad because she's like, unless he gets fucking baptized, my family's not going to come. And I was like, that's not a good way to support your family member.
Yeah, but it wasn't like he's like, well, I can't because my family is very much into their church. My dad, none of that. He's just like, yeah, I'll convert. And she's like, okay, cool, then it's fine. All right, great, no problem. Okay,
we have an Easter and engagement party at Dancing Zorba's. The Athena's husband says something. That he says, I'll get you some earplugs. If they aren't nagging something, they're going to die. Nice fucking
about
game.
The pork chopolous women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that Tula and Ian were a very great team.
They were. They were fine with each other.
Because they're
again,
like,
no conflict.
Well, because then they would act like, you know, they would be like, you come over. Like, didn't you tell him I'm the best cook? And she's like, oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah, two times, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah
she
yeah,
told
yeah.
me twice that. Like, you know, like he was good. He like kept up with everything, knew that she was kind of embarrassed about them and just kind of, you know, humored everybody. But not one person asked to see her ring. Did you notice that?
Never.
Do you
never
know
happened.
Do you know why they never asked? Nobody gives a shit.
No.
Nobody cares what your ring looks like.
No, but everybody does ask.
No.
Let me see your ring. Everybody does that. I've seen
but
women
rings don't matter.
Flock
but
around.
Nobody asked in this movie, is what I'm saying. I don't
yeah, but
care
it's still like
it
you
whatever.
Threw a piece of bread in the middle of a bunch of seagulls, though. Yeah. They all go, bah, bah, to the ring. Let me see. Sorry,
Vula,
I didn't mean to compare women to seagulls, but you guys, you should see yourself swarm to a ring. It's something.
Yeah.
Step outside yourself for a minute and just look like from space, and you'll go, oh, yeah, that is kind of weird. Yeah.
It is weird that we fawn over rings. Aunt Vula wants to cook for him. He doesn't eat meat. He's a vegetarian. So it's so funny because she says, that's okay, I make lamb. That's like
that was an actual cultural thing. Don't worry, I make lamb.
They don't like think of lamb as like a meat. That's like,
no, it's just everybody eats that. How do you not eat lamb?
Andrea Martin is wonderful. She's just really
hilarious. She's funny, man.
Movie.
She's funny.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the Tula Ian Miller, I have to give the character, I just want her to be Because it's a good character.
Yeah.
She's a good character, and I want her to progress in her life. Mm-hmm. I want her to feel confident, and I want her to go to school, and I want
her
to...
But you like her to struggle.
But I want her to overcome things, okay. So in the end, I'm happier for her.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I'm just like, well, that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like, take much. I'm still happy for her. I want good things to happen, but I feel like if she overcame some shit, we'd be even happier at the end at the wedding, rather than just like, yeah, they got married. Of course they did. Who cares?
So this is the only time where we figure out like what the time frame is, because that's an Easter party, because they say like this is how you say Happy Easter.
That's and right. And then they tell about
the
wedding.
They do a nice and quiet engagement party at his parents' house, at Doran's parents, and they said that the wedding will be at the end of October. Okay.
Yeah, so, maybe mid-November.
Yeah, so she says, like, I'll call the people at the country club and see if it's open. And they're like, no, we're going to be getting married at Tula's church.
Yep.
And she has another brochure, because remember, this is 2001 or 2002.
Can't just be like, here it is.
Brochures.
I Googled it for you.
And then I'll text you the link. It's
yeah,
the
it's
website.
Cool.
It's
here.
So
I just texted it to you. It's awesome. You're going to love it.
Nick brings up the new menu that he did with his dad again.
By the way, they tell the parents that? Do his parents have any problem with it at all?
No.
Nope, it's fine.
They were just like, okay.
They go, yeah, all right. Like everything else in this movie, they just go, yeah, cool. That's fine. Yeah. All right, great.
Well,
next scene.
That's kind of really how Midwestern people are. Like, if you're like, I'm going to do this, they're not going to, if that's what you want to do, they're going to be like, oh, okay. And then as soon as you leave, they'll be like, what kind of church is this?
For a movie, though, in a movie, you could have had them be like, we want to have it at the country club. We've been going there since you were a child, and they all know you there, and then we want to have it there. It's a nicer environment. You don't want to go to some Greek church. That's how movies are. This is just like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. But I mean, that is really how Midwestern people
would be
like, that was a crazy wedding, but we would never say anything. Like,
you'd
out loud.
Say something after she left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you'd tell, like, Jesus Christ, we're going to go to this.
Yeah, well, we're not going to make them feel bad about it.
No. But
all right.
In a movie,
so
you would.
There's an argument about who's coming to the wedding, because who cares? The dad wants these people to come, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, like, when it becomes about, and I understand people's frustrations with this, when it becomes about more about who's going and, like, what you're going to do there and less about getting married, it just really sucks.
Yeah.
If you're like, well, then I got to invite this person if I invite this person. And then what if this person asks, how come that person's going? And then you're just like, oh, my God, who cares? I just want to get married. I don't care.
And in the end, too, it was just kind of like she was like, whatever. And the dad invited people. And that's nobody put their foot down.
They're putting together wedding stuff, though, at Tula's parents' house. And they're doing, invitations, and they're doing like whatever. And Nick brings up the menu again, and the dad's not very interested in it.
The one he drew?
Jorn, yeah. Jorn burns his hand on like a mug or something like that, and the dad immediately sprays it down with Windex, because he's always carrying Windex with him everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's got like a holster of Windex.
Yeah, he's always got Windex in every room that he's in. You can see Windex in every single scene that Costa's in. Like, there's always Windex.
Yeah.
So the invitations say Rodney and Harry Miller. So I laugh really hard, because me and my sister will always text each other and be like, Rodney, Harry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because that's what we always do. But
yeah, they misspell. Yeah, they put his mother's name is Harry.
Yeah, Nikki, the cousin, comes over and shows these earrings that she made for the bridesmaids, and whew, they are gaudy.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, so you like that fabric, right? And then she shows Tula the bridesmaids' gowns that they made. Tula hates them.
Also very gaudy.
But everybody loves them. They're like, oh my God. And she goes,
And she goes, everyone's like, oh, that's classy.
But she didn't even fight over it. She's not like, that's not what I want. And then they're going to show up with that anyway.
Whatever.
I guess that's fine. You bring that.
Yep. Goes with the program. All of her family wants her to do that. Okay.
Nick brings up late at night, when they're about to go to bed, that he's going to go to art classes at college, and that Tula has inspired him to do that. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. This is like so cool.
Yeah.
And
That's the big side plot
is that they're both going to college.
The brother drew a picture, and now he wants to go to community college to take an art class. That's the big side plot, everybody.
But you know what, though?
He wasn't in prison or like a crackhead before. He's still the same guy and fine.
He does do, like, she's like, I don't want any invitations that you got off the back of somebody's truck, like, you know, yeah, that. So I wonder what
kind of, I got a guy, I'll take care of it.
I wonder what kind of shenanigans Nick gets into. And that's the movie that I would like to see. I'd like to see a movie from
him doing
Nick's
shit.
Nick.
Well, I think like he's just him,
he's a weird guy.
He is. Back home, back east at all, if you're from back there, everybody's like, everybody knows somebody that can do, you always can get things. I don't know anybody in New York, but at least when I lived there, that ever paid for an inspection sticker on their car.
Oh, yeah.
That actually went, they paid for it, but I mean that actually had it inspected. They knew a guy that worked at a thing, and you give them $10 and they slap a fucking sticker on your car.
Exactly.
They don't actually inspect it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how everything is back there. And I feel like that's how this guy is. It's like, I know a guy.
Yeah, I know a guy. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Then we're going to, they're having a party. The parents, they're having a party, and they're inviting Rodney and Harriet over.
Yeah.
The mom invited the entire family, and she's got like four barrels of potatoes that she's peeling. And I was like, oh, I want potatoes right now.
They got some lamb going in the front yard on the spit, which
they got a spit.
Delicious.
It looked awesome, and it was cooked great.
I want that lamb.
It's the perfect amount of potatoes for every party. And
I want that lamb.
So they're meeting the whole family. They're outside roasting a lamb on a spit out in the front yard, not the backyard, in the front yard.
Yeah.
The whole family's there, and they're just kind of like, you know, a little culture shock.
They walk
because
up. Oh, my.
They are pretty agreeable, though, but they did think that it was just going to be a dinner with them and her parents.
Yeah, they thought it was a sit-down affair.
They thought that it was going to be like six people, but instead it's like, you know, 30. They meet the whole family. There's Anita, Diane's, Nick, Nico, Nick, Nikki. Like, there's all these, like, whatever.
Which is very reminiscent of Goodfellas at the wedding scene where this is everybody's name was Paul or
Paulie
Peter or Paul. This is Peter and Paul and Paul and Peter and his name. It's Peter. I mean Paul. I get him mixed up myself. It's the same thing.
Rodney Harry brings a bundt cake to the party.
Yeah.
And the mom didn't know what a bundt cake was. Nick and the brother and Joey Fatone mess with Jorn and they'll tell him, you know, it's like, hey, everybody, let's go inside. But instead they say, like, he says, I have three testicles.
Yeah, they make Jorn say, and everybody I have three testicles in Greek.
Yeah.
This is like the third time they fuck with him.
He's, because when they're doing the invitations, he's like, how do you say thank you in Greek?
Yeah.
And so Nick teaches him how to say nice boobs.
To the mother.
And to the mom. And then they all hit Nick because he's such a hooligan. And then Aunt Vula, immediately she meets them, and Andrea Martin, she's immediately telling them about this lump in the back of her neck, that the lump was her twin.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing shots.
Vestigial twin. That was unexpected.
They bring alcohol out. We're doing shots. Oppa!
Yeah, everybody's yelling and screaming and getting shit-faced, and they get...
We're doing shots.
Rodney and Harry shit-faced.
Rodney and Harry are getting drunk as fuck. I'm excited for their journey at this point in the movie.
Yeah. I don't know how they got home that night.
The mom puts a plant in the middle of the bundt cake because she thinks that that's what you're supposed to do with it.
Yeah, there's a hole in the middle. Why?
The party is over. Dad's complaining about Ian's family and how they're so boring. And he says that his daughter is going to marry Ian Miller, an Xeno with the big long hair and a toast family. And I just really love the term toast family.
Toast family.
They're like dry toast. He's so upset.
And they are.
Ooh, yeah.
And so is his character.
The bald friend doesn't seem to be very supportive of his friend Ian. He seems Jorn seems to be pretty happy. Like he's
fine.
He's happy to convert to Greek Orthodox. He's not like, because I think that what he's thinking is I don't have to go. I just, you know, as long as I do this to marry her.
He
it's
brings
fine.
Up zero conflict in the entire movie.
He's
you
not,
could kick him in the nuts
he
and he'd
fine.
Be fine with it.
So I'm not
no
sure
issue.
What his friend is worried about, but
like,
whatever.
My family's really bossing you around. He's like, it's fine. That's his big conflict.
And then he's like, Tula has a lot of cousins. And he's like, yeah, right. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. I could set you up with one. He's like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah,
you're too good for him, bald fuck.
Yeah. Let's
all right.
Take our image
calm
of
down,
ourselves
fat boy.
Down a little bit.
Relax, less attractive Costanza. Calm down.
Less attractive Pete Hornberger. Like, I was like, listen, my man, you are a little bit shorter than Jorn. So, like, Jorn is like, ladies like that height of dude, you know?
Relax,
so like,
mini Tambor.
Yeah.
That's enough out of you.
Yeah, that's enough. I get it that you took some Polaroids with some blonde chicks, but, like, why don't we get back to reality here?
Yeah.
The next morning on the wedding day, Tula has a zit that she wakes up to, and I just feel so bad. There's so much pressure to look camera ready. Like when you're like, it's my birthday, it's this, you know, blah, 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 because you know that there's going to be pictures of you, and especially on your wedding day, but your wedding is nothing but stress. So you're stressed out, and then on the day of, you're always going to have a stress zit.
Yeah.
So again, if you want to elope, just go do it.
Elope.
It's not a big deal.
You're an adult.
Do a wedding that doesn't stress you
out.
You're
an adult. Do whatever you want.
The mom is getting her chin hairs plucked, and she's telling her some wedding night tips, which is, I never want to have that conversation with my mother ever.
Telling her how to bang Jorn.
And then at the wedding, we've got 12 people from Jorn's family and like 1,200 from Tula's side. The wedding was so fast. You kind of saw some stuff. And then
this whole movie leads up to a fucking 30-second. That's the big culmination.
Like the whole thing goes up to the culmination is when Rodney and Harry said to each other, how are we supposed to know what's going on? And then the dad says, I don't know. It's all Greek to me.
Bro. Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. Very, very funny. He just made a joke. Okay. We kiss. We're married. We go to the reception. She doesn't want to go in. We learn that Jorn also had a big, huge zit, and he put Windex on it because he is now a believer.
He's now Greek.
He gets it. He's fucking Greek, and he loves this new family, and he's accepted it. And so she's very happy because even her husband loves the Windex thing and appreciates her dad's little quirks. We get a speech from Dad where he tells us that the name Miller comes from the word Milo, which means apple, and that their last name, Portokopoulos, means orange because it's apple and orange. We're all different, but in the end, we all fruit. Fucking crushed it. Way to go.
Good for you,
Gus. They bought them. His name is Costa, but they call him Gus. It doesn't matter.
It's easier.
The mom bought them, the couple, a house. Everybody loves each other.
That's the wedding present.
They bought us a house. And then it's dancing time. More voiceover. We find out that the Tula and Jorn's house is right next to the parents'
next door,
house.
Literally.
So it's kind of like Everybody Loves Raymond. We end with Tula talking to her 6-year-old daughter or 5-year-old daughter, and she has to go to Greek school, and she says, Mom, do I have to go to Greek school? And Tula says the weirdest line ever, like, Mom, do I have to go to Greek school? And then she says, yes, but you can marry anyone you want. She's 6.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. She's like, do I have to learn about fucking goats? Like,
well,
what's happening?
She's saying that you don't have to write your mother-in-law a letter. Yeah. That's the
I know, but weird.
Yeah.
That's the end of the movie. They wave to their parents and they're like, hi, how's it going? And they walk their kid to Greek school.
Yay.
And we fucking did it. We made it.
Made it through this goddamn.
It was a journey, and a journey that brought us to nowhere else but.
But to the Heigl-meter.
It takes us to the Heigl-meter.
To the Heigl-meter.
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement. It is our rating system where we rate our movies from 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls, 5 Heigls being the most punishing, most painful movie you've ever watched in your entire life. And 1 Heigl, not that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So, James, go ahead.
Am I going first?
Yeah, I'm going to let you go.
All right. I had a hard time with this one. I'm going to give this one 2 Heigls. I'm going to mild on this. I'm not going to have a crazy formula. It's 2 Heigls because most of our movies that we watch are not entertaining at all. They're just painful.
Yeah.
Like Burlesque, there is not a redeeming thing in Burlesque. It's just fucking kick in the teeth over and over again.
It's great.
Some of them, like The Room, are kind of fun. But this movie, it's got... it irritates me. I should give it more Heigls because it irritates me because it could have been good.
Yeah.
It could have been good. It had a point of view. Mm-hmm. It had funny characters. It had stuff set up to where you could have had things, but then they went ahead and had no fucking conflict.
Yeah.
Like
that was disappointing.
If the wedding was difficult to get to, if her parents gave them shit and then they were like,
to drive
oh boy,
there's no parking.
Well, no. And then they went to his parents and his parents also gave him shit. So they're mad that he's not Greek and his parents are mad that they're not having it at the country club. And this one says that would have been at the end when they got married and they finally kissed at the wedding and all that. That would have seemed like we fucking did it together. Oh, it's a triumphant moment rather than just like, okay, yeah, that happened too.
It's fine.
Now what? You're just waiting for the next scene to come all the time. Then what happened? Because there's no anything. You're waiting for something to come up. So I'm going to go 2 Heigls. It's fine. I mean, if you have it on in the background, it won't bother you, but it's not rewarding to watch either.
No.
So 2 Heigls. I'm sorry. What do you got here?
I'm also giving it 2 Heigls.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever agreed.
This is a PSA. I hate this movie first. I think we're both giving
it
2 Heigls.
Shit.
It's non-offensive. It's fine. You can definitely tell that it is from a certain time period of 2002, so it's a little bit of a timepiece. But I thought it was fine.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's what this movie is. It was fine.
It's fine. And it's on Amazon Prime. So yeah, if you so haven't you watched it yet, it's on Amazon Prime. You can stream it for free. I feel like I saw it that it was on HBO because you know how HBO is doing that streaming where you don't need an account. So if you're watching it on if you're like, where do I watch it? It's on somewhere. So you're going to find it.
Plus, you probably have the DVD or your parents have the DVD on their shelf
because
everyone had it 20 years ago when people bought DVDs.
So if you enjoyed that movie, you enjoy our takes on the movie, you can follow us on social media. We're at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We do bonus episodes every other week.
How do they get those, man?
And if you go to patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD, and then go there. Like we said, this week we're going to be talking about the show Secret Princes. It's on TLC, and we watched
wonderful.
It on Hulu, and it is magical.
It really is spectacular.
If you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, the purple icon, 5 stars. If you loved it, if not, if you don't really care for the show, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
you
keep your fucking opinions to yourself.
Yeah,
how's that sound?
You don't need to. It's fine. You can go on living your life without telling people that you don't like them. It's not that big of a deal.
Great. No one cares what you think that much anymore.
No one cares.
Unless it's positive, then go ahead and scream it from the mountaintops.
Yeah,
so we all care.
We really care.
Thank you.
So yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in and for hanging out with us. If you want to find me on social media, I'm at Sarah H is Funny, S-A-R-A-H-H is Funny on Twitter and Instagram. And I have, if you like all my rantings and ravings about these movies, I rant and rave about food and public bathroom policies in my books, Small Potatoes. Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope and Leftover Beef of a Lovable Curmudgeon. And they're on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. I forgot they're on Barnes & Noble. So you can get those and they are funny. And if you would rate and review those as well, I'm asking you to do a lot of things and
I'm
sorry.
Well, we had to sit through this fucking movie, so.
Well, it's fine. I like this movie. It was fine.
One hand washes the other.
Exactly. And James, where can people find you?
You can find me at Jimmy P is Funny or just copy my name from somewhere. You'll see it. And just copy and paste it because you're not going to spell Petragallo correctly. If you want to hear more from me, you can do that very easily. Well, you can hear a shitload from me, actually. Every Tuesday on the Crime and Sports Podcast, every Thursday on the Small Town Murder Podcast. Come hang out with us all the time there. Keep coming back, and that's about all I got. Hang out, see me, find me. It's great.
Yeah.
Do it up.
And also, speaking of Patreon, we have some wonderful people that we need to acknowledge.
Oh, cool. Shout outs. Let's acknowledge.
We will acknowledge them.
Please.
Calvin Donnell, Bobby Sons, Danny Parton, Charlie Hawk, Madison.
Dolly's son, Danny.
Danny.
Come on, little Danny.
Madison Borth, Jenny Bukowski, Adam Wesley Etheridge, Sarah McCullough,
Melissa's child. Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, and Charles's daughter, Jenny.
Oh, wow, this is wild. Well, I'm telling you,
this
all
one
the people
seems
this week.
Like
Thank
I'm probably
you.
Gonna I'm probably gonna say it wrong, but I don't care. Rachel Lafreniere.
Sounded
whatever.
Beautiful to me.
Rudy Flores, Carol Palmer, Wendy Starr Brown, Colleen Gregory, Agnes Carthage, Jessica Stacy, Katarina, Guth, Molly, no last name, Harrison Montgomery, Michael Lakin, Carl Bittner, Casey Locke, Tatum Wyam, David Baker, David Fortner, Kyle Needham, Hafid Cristobal. Sorry if I just completely fucked that up.
Just David. There's a lot of Davids, so we'll just call you David.
No.
Okay.
Pat Stockdale, Jules Harris, Elise, no last name, Margot Jackson, Marissa. So
look at that one. She had to really bend down on
there. There was a lot of Heather Ventures, Savannah Martin, Rosalie Wind, Jen Fernandez, Blythe Severa, Crystal Kramer, Barbara Baucater, Tom Keller, Kyle Garriott's, Katie Carroll, Heather Shaw, Hannah Williams, Melissa Silsby, Jennifer Flores, Mary Faust, Greg Miller, and M. Ma.
Wow. Thank you guys so
much. Thank you guys so much for donating to us on Patreon. And again, we're going to be talking about our new favorite show, Secret Princes, this week on our Patreon episode.
Can't wait. Hope you enjoy
it. Find out why we laughed so hard that I threw up and James had a headache.
Might have had a stroke. I'm not sure.
But in the meantime, if you don't mind, heigle yourselves.
Go heigle yourselves, everybody.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.